Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Welcome to show 329.
Our highest
numbered yet.
Yes.
If you haven't listened to show 328, which is Sandy's wonderful composition
and
production of September 11th. Well, I don't mean it that way. I mean that it was wonderfully produced by you. I think everybody should listen to that. I've gotten messages from people. They had to pull over their car because they started crying when they listened to it. I think it's something that we and our children and our children's children should listen to all the time to remind us of what happened so that we may never forget. And maybe somehow, somewhere, some way we can do something to prevent that from happening again.
I don't see that happening, but
I don't either.
Yeah.
I told you the progressive mindset when it comes to radical Islamic terrorists are like turkeys campaigning for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Yesterday in France, in Toulouse, France, last week, seven people stabbed, a madman running around screaming Allahu Akbar.
It's a good thing you didn't have a gun.
It wasn't even on CNN's webpage.
No. It's so commonplace now, right? It isn't news anymore. What has happened to us that we are so complacent? Is it just a general malaise, a national or international malaise? Have we just accepted? When was this America? I don't get it. In the political system, you're just disgusted with everything. I think so many people are just so worn out.
Yeah. I would have to agree. I would have to agree. It's really apathetic that our leaders, you know, with this globalist view who are protected by security 24/7, welcome 14th century savages that don't assimilate into our Western culture, and they're hell-bent on... They leave a shitty country and come to a beautiful country, and they want to make it a shitty country. Well,
right.
Just stay in your shitty country.
Well, doesn't that happen here with city dwell? You had Texas, which is now filled with people from New York, New Jersey, and California who are trying to turn the state blue.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and Knappen used to talk about it all the time. Yeah, they created a utopia in Massachusetts, the socialists. They can't afford to live there anymore, so they all moved to southern New Hampshire, and now they're changing southern New Hampshire to be like Massachusetts.
Exactly,
like,
right.
I'm telling you, it's definitely a mental disorder. Socialism, and it's a mental disorder.
Yeah,
I don't
see
how it's going to work this time.
It never does, but this time it'll be different.
Mm,
yeah, we just haven't done enough.
Yeah, Margaret Thatcher said socialism works till you run out of other people's money.
Right.
This is September, and I was reading in the Daily Mail or BBC News or something. 769 terror raids and arrests in the UK already this year.
Wow.
Okay.
The year's not even close to being done.
I mean, what does it cost? What does it cost
right,
us taxpayers
right,
in
right.
the U.S.? How many people are under surveillance right now? You know, how many people
we've lost Yes, we've lost our freedom. We've lost whatever freedom we possibly could have had. It's not that we lost it. We gave it up. We gave it up because
we
wanted to feel safer.
Correct.
You know,
and it's
bullshit.
Oh,
absolutely. And we took it directly from the European system where they just want to, you know, let's just get along. Let's just pretend it doesn't.
Yeah, that doesn't
work. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't work. The head in the sand mentality is not going to work. I don't know when it's going to get to a point. I mean, I thought the Orlando nightclub massacre by a radical Islamic terrorist
would have woken
somebody up.
No, it doesn't. No, not at all. It just got swept under the carpet, and it wasn't that he was attacking a gay nightclub. That whole point was lost.
Correct. And we're not even allowed to talk about it now.
No. You know, it's sad because now you touch on that. You know, I am so passionate about the First Amendment the way you're passionate about the Second Amendment, and I see it eroding everywhere. In California,
oh my God,
the vast majority of people right now believe that the First Amendment should be pretty much abolished when it comes to, skinheads or Nazis.
Or opposing views.
Or opposing views.
If I don't agree with your view, it should
right.
be banned.
Should be banned, yeah. That's the speech that we all agree is the most disgusting, loathful thing is the thing that we need to protect.
Correct.
You know, otherwise, well, it's subjective. Everything is subjective.
Now we're destroying Thomas Jefferson memorials.
Well, of course. You know, he was
at the University of Virginia, the the college that he founded, the university that he founded, they desecrated his statue.
Yeah.
But I said, when the left is done destroying the statues, then they're going to come after the people they disagree with.
Oh, absolutely. It's already happening.
What Antifa?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's already
effeminate
happening.
Men and college girls with black masks on.
Yeah, going.
Bring it on.
Two groups of socialists fighting against one another. The neo-Nazis and Antifa are fighting against one another. For what? Chief socialist? I don't grasp it.
Well, Bernie Sanders wants single-payer health care. And, of course, Kamala Harris came out in support of that because she's going to run for president as well.
Everybody wants single-payer health care, both these quasi-Republicans. You've got a president in the White House who is basically the same thing. He wants single-payer health care.
Who's paying for it?
What does it look like? Now
a visit to motor vehicle or the post office.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the VA.
Sorry, sir. You were in the liver line for the past 3 hours.
So you'll have to go to a different line.
You have to go to the gallbladder line.
Right. And if single-payer socialistic health care is so wonderful, why do Canadians pour over the border into the
surgery.
To the United States? Yes, instead of waiting 6 months, 8 months, 9 months for an MRI.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's backwards.
Yeah.
I want to – anybody who has connections with Carlos Rendo or Kim Godano, please
tell them they both suck.
Tell them they need to come on the show. Carlos Rendo's breaking his ass. He's traveling all over the state, canvassing the state, repping. And, Kim needs to come out. So Kim or Carlos, anybody have their people, contact our people. Get on the show.
And the voice of reason says it ain't going to make a difference.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing. Which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
This segment is brought to you by Gunsitters. Gunsitters.com and their military division Weapons Guard. They're located on Route 10 East in Whippany under the Pancake House. Check out Gunsitters.com. I come into my office yesterday, Sandy. I have an anonymous letter in an envelope addressed to Anthony Calandro.
Yes.
I'm going to call.
You opened it? Was
yes.
Was it filled with white powder?
No ricin. No signature, but it says, I'm going to call the government and get all of your guns taken away. You shouldn't even be allowed to touch a gun. You're a violent, unpredictable, angry idiot. This was part of the message I got from my daughter because I didn't send a package to her on the West Coast so she would get it on Wednesday. Needless to say, unfortunately, my daughter has some problems, but I couldn't take the chance. I have sued my local law enforcement and actually won part of the lawsuit. Nothing would have made their day more than coming to my house and throwing all of my guns in a 55-gallon drum and accidentally leaving them outside in the rain.
Yes.
I called Gun Sitters at 8:30 p.m., and I was able to get there at 11:30 p.m. Eric met me and started inventorying all of my stuff, and I finally left about 4:30 in the morning.
That's a gun collection.
Yes. I don't know any place else that would have done that for me. Fortunately, nothing happened, and my daughter calmed down and never acted on her threat. However, you can never tell what's going to happen when someone in that condition makes a threat. Certainly, other people have learned the hard way that sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry. The small fee I had to pay was certainly worth the peace of mind and about 1% of the fee a lawyer would have charged me, much less the damages that would have been done to my guns and other stuff if they had been taken. Thanks to your radio show, I knew where I could turn to and who I could trust, so thanks for your help. It was anonymous, so I don't know who it was, but thank you for dropping that off to me. And yes, better safe than sorry.
Yeah,
we live in New Jersey. Your daughter could have called the police. They would have come to the house,
right.
Got a restraining order on you, confiscated all your stuff. Listeners, this is also why, in our years of collecting and amassing stuff, you better not have anything in New Jersey residence that is not New Jersey compliant.
Oh, yes, right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Out the front knives.
Yep.
Auto opening knives.
Yep.
Magazines that have more than 15 round capacity.
A slingshot.
An M1 carbine that was your great grandfather's and
right.
It's handed down in the family.
An old Luger that your father brought home from World War II.
Well, that's okay. But
that's right. Yeah, they'll still take it.
Yeah. So I want everybody to listen up and make sure you do a nice clean sweep of your collection because you never know when something like that is going to happen. So you should be prepared for it. So thank you for the anonymous letter. I'm glad that Gunsitters.com was able to help out. I mean, that's their business.
Right.
And there's no better testament than that. Now, out in the horizon, you know, we're trying to get H.R. 38 passed, which is concealed carry. And all reports
not
say Paul Ryan's sitting on it, another rhino, another jackass rhino, and he's sitting on it, and he's not going to pass it. He's not going to put it up for vote, even though there's over 360 co-sponsors.
That doesn't matter.
All right? It's not going to happen. You're absolutely right. Just like the wall's not going to happen.
No wall.
Repealing Obamacare is not going to happen.
Nope.
Deporting the Dreamers, the DACA is not going to happen.
Not happening.
It's not happening. Ladies and gentlemen, the angry majority of 65 million voters, we've been duped. I just want you to know that.
Some of us were. Some of us got a lot of hate mail when they said, Donald Trump ain't going to build a wall.
Yeah, I know. Mm. I know. It's not happening. So listen to this. Steve Elber sent me this article. It's from the Inquirer Daily News in Philly. And it's an op-ed written by Louis Capelli, Jr. And he wrote, Florida concealed carry bill would make Jersey more dangerous. And he goes through the whole thing. In 2016, throughout the United States, firearms killed more than 33,000 people and on average saw more than one mass shooting a day. More than 90 lives a day, one every 16 minutes, are taken by guns, which includes suicide, according to the CDC. Firearms are the third leading killer among children in our nation and men between the ages of 19 and 34.
Where did he get that statistic from?
His third
leading killer.
His arse.
Of all children.
His arse.
Okay.
So, Representative Donald Norcross, D, in New Jersey, He's trying to kill it. He does not want national reciprocity, H.R. 38.
Nobody in New Jersey wants that in the political scene.
And Steve Elber, just on the first paragraph, wrote, and I love Steve, even though he likes Teddy Roosevelt, right, Sandy? You right. still love Steve,
I
don't
still
you?
I still love Steve, yes.
He wrote, let's just dissect this opening paragraph. In 2016, throughout the United States, firearms killed more than 33,000 people and are taking, which includes suicide. Firearms are the third leading killer among children in our nation and men between the ages of 19 and 34. Each year, more than 130,000 people are shot. Steve wrote, 33,000 people, two-thirds, 22,000 were suicide. The article neglects to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
A mass shooting, by definition, means at least four.
Hold on. Who, if they didn't have a gun,
they would do something else.
Use something else.
I've seen it.
We've seen it everywhere.
Yes.
Japan has the highest suicide rate in the world.
Correct.
And guns are banned.
They have high buildings.
They have. Yes.
They like to go soaring through the sky and then,
boop, splat.
Yes. A mass shooting, by definition, means at least four dead. Thus, the claim that more than one mass shooting per day is a lie, because in 2016, there were 28 shootings that fit the criteria to be listed as a mass shooting. And furthermore, with the exception of two of those 28, it appeared that all true mass shootings involve criminals shooting criminals, drug and gang-related, i.e., look at Chicago. Right? The article neglected to point that out. Then we have the statistic of children and men between the ages of 19 and 34. Care to guess how many of those children, which means up to age 19, and men between 19 and 34 also happen to be the very same gang members that they include in their mass shooting data?
All right.
The article neglects to point that out. Go ahead.
You have to skew the data to include 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds as children, but especially 18-year-olds because they're the gangbangers who
Correct.
Are shooting each other.
Correct.
Because other than that, there's just absolutely no way that those statistics could even be close to come apart. We've broken this so many times. How many times have I brought in CDC's own reports?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Now, Steve, here's his mic drop. Now we come to the point. None of those numbers involved legal, law-abiding gun owners who bothered to get licensed and carry guns legally.
Amen.
The article neglects to point that out. That really grinds my gears. Once again, a bullshit article written by someone who has not done the research, who has an agenda, and who is, in my opinion, a putz, and simply published this to scare the general public, who will believe whatever they read in the newspaper.
He's absolutely right on that point, because most people dig surface deep, and that's just about it. How many people would have spent the time that Elber spent to debunk that? There's this thing, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, called Google.
Mm.
And
the monopoly?
Yeah, the monopoly. And if you were to, now before it's censored, if you could, you could Google those facts and statistics before they're not brought up anymore, because the algorithm has been censored.
Massaged.
Yes, massaged a little bit, yeah.
You know, and then I attached an article. Everybody should Google this. A distorted view of concealed carry in the Washington Times. And what it says is opponents of reciprocity blur the difference between legal and illegal guns. So, Steve, yep. You got to look at this article, all right? This was by Paul Davis.
That was the Philly Inquirer, wasn't it?
Yeah, no. This was the Washington Times. Phil's article was the Steve's article was the Philly Inquirer. And what they do is, again, over and over again, they don't, like John Lott says all the time, they don't differentiate between legal and illegal guns.
Yes, right.
And it's always, they skew all the data. The illegal guns skew all the data. Shittim's killing shittim's. Colonel Jeff Cooper said a long time ago, those statistics don't count.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We're talking about law-abiding citizens, okay? Okay, law-abiding people in some of these communities are living in fear as they see families torn apart and young lives cut short by gangs and drug traffickers. Following President Trump's executive order on focus on reducing crime is what needs to be done. Okay?
Oh, reducing crime.
But Rahm Emanuel just made Chicago a Trump-free zone. That's a true story.
Oh, God, we're doomed.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home.
As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And this segment is brought to you by SafeCon, njsafecon.net. It's next Saturday. If you haven't bought your tickets online, buy them, njsafecon.net, $20. Cam Edwards will be there. Charlie Cook will be there from Riding Shotgun with Charlie. He's the one that plays the trumpet and he shoots the gun at the same time. The state police will be there. You name it. Everybody
is going
to be. Are
they going to play trumpet and shoot guns at the same time?
No, they're going to answer questions now.
I'd rather see them play trumpets.
Everybody's going to be there. NJSafeCon.net. It's at the Princeton Marriott, September 23rd from 10 to 4. Tony Simon will be there. The Saw Group, you name it, they will be there. Sandy, do you own a tux?
I do.
All right, good, because I'm being honored.
Are you?
Yes, October 14th, I'm being honored as Humanitarian of the Year.
Humanitarian.
Yes.
Of the year.
Last year, the honoree was Lieutenant Governor Kim Godano. This year, it's me.
Sorry.
It's me. Okay.
Are you going to be governor then?
No, but I'm going to be on a float on the Columbus Day Parade 5 days before the dinner. Okay. It's going to be October 14th, 6:30 at night. It's a black tie event, and it's going to benefit student scholarships at New Jersey Medical School, Seton Hall Law School, NJIT, and Fairleigh Dickinson Pharmaceutical Program.
Wow.
And it's black tie, and you're going to have to pay. It's $250 a ticket. Sorry, but you and Di are probably going to go. I'm giving you this as your invitation, but it's the Columbian Foundation. I'm going to be on a float. Look, there's my picture.
Wow.
Honoree. It's pretty cool that I got picked to do this. You know, I do a lot of humanitarian stuff. I make a lot of donations to many organizations. And, you know, I've been a part of this organization for years. And I got picked. There's your invitation.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't stamp it. You can pay for your own stamp, too, you cheap bastard. Okay? But, yes.
Well, see, I have an announcement to make, too. On Columbus Day, I'm going to be drinking a root beer float. But other than that.
I'm looking forward to being on a float in the Columbus Day Parade because I'm hoping someone's going to desecrate something.
Yeah, I know. You should really bring stuff to throw.
Then they're going to be under the float. So I'm hoping.
I want to go to the Columbus Day Parade now just to see this.
You know, Patty's going. My parents are going.
That's nice.
Patty's daughter, Monica's going. Some of my staff, I invited a lot of friends and family to go. So you're going to have to dig into your pocket and go. I think you'll have a good time. The Birchwood Manor in Whippany is a beautiful place. The food is phenomenal. There's a band. Again, it's Black Tie. I think it'll be a really nice tribute. And then 6 days later, I'm going to Rome. How apropos.
That's pretty good, yes.
So you got your invitation.
It's going to be an entire Italian 2 weeks.
Italian 2 weeks for me. Italian October.
Yeah, Italian October, yeah.
The parade and the dinner where I'm the honoree and then going to Rome. So
nice.
I'm making the whole month of October. Okay, now, since we're talking about concealed carry and we're talking about Paul Ryan has been holding this bill. He will not let Congress touch this, even though we have enough sponsors.
Because
okay?
It's not the right time.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's bullshit. Trump has so much other diversionary shit going on right now.
It's the perfect
while all
time.
The pussy hat wearers are worrying about DACA and right, the wall and right. Everything else, we could get national reciprocity. We have the votes, okay? Excuse me.
You could get anything through right now.
Correct. So, you know, we want it, but Paul Ryan won't put it up for a vote. I hate him. I hate all the rhinos.
The Obamacare repeal and all the other good stuff that everybody wants, but
it was all chaff. It was all if we had the House, if we had the Senate, if we had the executive branch, if we had what else do you need?
Yeah, they don't
do your job.
Right.
Do your job.
Tell you what they need. They need new jobs.
But here's a great article. Your article's not up yet, but here's a great article by John. I believe it was John Lott. Where is it? Come on. Okay, here it is right here. Commentary in the Chicago Tribune by John Lott.
Yeah.
He says that why don't we apply checks for gun purchases to voting?
Right.
Because the liberals, the socialists say that the background checks that I go through to buy a gun is not against my constitutional rights.
That's right.
But having ID to vote is.
Yeah, right. So Lott's argument is that, look, they already are in support of the background of a NICS check, you know, and it's not intrusive at all on your gun purchasing. So why would it be intrusive on your ability to vote?
There's the hypocrisy right there.
Yeah.
So let's have all voters go through the same registration process and NICS check that I go through.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you know there's towns in California and in Washington State where illegals can vote in local elections? Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's only federal law you have to be a U.S. citizen vote in a federal election.
Right.
State and local elections, you don't have to be a citizen. It's always been applied that you had to be a citizen, but it wasn't written anywhere. So towns are passing referendums, lock, stock, and barrel now, where illegals can vote. So what is the benefit of being a citizen,
exactly,
going through the process of being a citizen?
Can you imagine going to Mexico and casting a vote? Or could you imagine going to Canada casting a vote, or to Italy and trying to cast a vote? Your fingers would be cut off.
Correct.
You know, it's funny because you're going to Rome, but and you're probably not going to venture out into the countryside. But it is not uncommon in Italy to be driving down a country road and there's a roadblock, and the carabinieri, who is the national police, will stop you and demand your papers. And if they don't like the answer you're getting, they'll open up the doors, tear your door panels off, and search the vehicle. And they have buses right there to deport people.
You know, I've said this before, Sandy. We have people come in, tourists from all over the world, to shoot at the range. And amazingly, they show up. They don't have any ID on them. They're from the Netherlands. They're from China. They're from France. They're from Taiwan. I'm like, where's your ID? Oh, I left it in a hotel room or something. Everywhere I've traveled around the world, when I check the State Department, I check the laws of that country,
you have to have your ID
with you at all times.
Absolutely. You're,
all times.
Yes. Except
we're the
this
only
country.
We're jackasses.
Right.
We're jackasses.
Yeah, and everybody knows it, and which is why, you know, two of the terrorists who tried to blow up the World Trade Center, I believe, came through on Ronald Reagan's amnesty bill. And up until 20 years, in 2005, they were still allowing people to come through, claiming that they were, because it was supposed to be only 300,000 people who, you know, were doing the backbreaking work that the Americans did not want to do, picking vegetables. And, of course, organizations like the National Chamber of Commerce wants cheap labor to be here.
Correct.
And so up in 20 years later, in 2005, you still had 300,000-500,000 people per year coming through, claiming that they were migrant workers who were living in places like Boston, New York City, and Chuck Schumer's district in Brooklyn, because, you know, we know how expansive the Brooklyn farms are.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. We know how expansive
most of our vegetables do come from the farms.
So I like Lott's angle. Anybody that votes has to go through a NICS check.
Oh, absolutely.
The liberals' heads will explode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, we all know the underlying motion between DACA and making 800,000 to 3 million illegals legal.
Right.
The Democrats will win the next 47 years of elections.
Right. Because it's not 3 million. You know, it's going to be 30 million.
Correct. And it's all about getting votes. That's what it's all about.
It's always been what it's about, because the powerful want to stay in power, and us as sheeple idiots, especially here in New Jersey, will continue to put them in.
Correct. Without a doubt, it will never end. But we know it's all about votes, and it really, really pisses me off, Sandy, that we have to be constantly subjected to this. Now, here's a story. September 10th, 14-year-old boys carrying loaded guns after shooting them in Jersey City. See, these are the people that we're now supposed to be concerned about. Two teen boys were arrested carrying loaded guns after police responded to shots fired in Jersey City. The two boys, both 14 years old, face multiple weapons charges. They're minors. They're not going to get anything.
Right.
They're not going to. Nothing's going to get done. No. They could kill an innocent person on his or her way to work.
Right.
And they would still only get 3 years in jail. But it was 9 p.m.
In juvie.
Yes. It was 9 p.m. Could you imagine at 9 p.m. walking around with a gun in your waistband when you were 9?
No. No. We had to go home when the streetlights came on.
One had a sawed-off rifle. One had a handgun. They were both loaded.
Oh.
14 years old.
And they bought them probably right at... what's the name of that gun shop?
They were stolen in North Carolina, the firearms.
Boy,
they came up from the Iron Highway.
Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 7 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites, libertyofficesuites.com. Ron Sousa has two locations, one on Changebridge Road in Montville and one on New Road in Parsippany. Check out libertyofficesuites.com for as little as $58 a month. You can have like fractional rent of a professional environment. Get out of your mom's basement already. Leave her alone. Let her go to bingo or something, okay? Stop working out of your van with all the paperwork on the dashboard, all right? Seriously. This is what we deal with in New Jersey. Gun trafficker tells court, "I feel bad for my family," during sentencing.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here how it's...
feel too bad before.
Here's how it's backwards. A Jersey City man... by the way, I thought Fulop had things under control in
Jersey City. All this stuff keeps happening in Jersey City, the gun-free zone of Jersey City, yet the 9-year-old and 14-year-old had a gun, and now there was gun trafficking?
This guy, they trafficked tons of guns that were stolen from the South, and they brought them into New Jersey, especially Jersey City. And you know what he got? He got 13 years in prison. He's 42 years old.
And he's crying.
He will only have to do about 60% of his sentence.
So he'll be out in like
7 years. 7 years tops, okay? He'll be out at 49. He'll be able to do it again. Now, so In New Jersey, if you had an M1 carbine in your gun safe that was your grandfather's that he brought home from Korea, you're not a gun collector. The police respond because your son said he was going to kill his girlfriend or something.
Or they your house was on fire.
House was on fire.
Or
they say, any weapons in the house? Yeah, we need to put them safely. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have an M1 carbine. Turn around, sir. Put your hands behind your back.
Right.
You will get 7 to 10 years in prison for possession of that firearm with no criminal intent,
right,
with no extraneous crime committed, okay?
Right.
He got 13 years in prison for knowingly trafficking guns that are going to be used to skew the data against us law-abiding citizens,
right,
but more importantly, kill other shittums, which is okay, but also kill innocent people,
right,
and rob people of their lives and their loved ones, and he got 13 years in prison. This is unbelievable, all right? He had a dozen guns and assault rifles that were seized during the investigation. Investigators said numerous guns, possibly in the hundreds, were trafficked by him and his six co-defendants.
Hundreds of firearms. Stolen.
Hundreds of stolen firearms. Okay. And he got 13 years in prison. This is why our situation is backwards.
And if we stop to pee on our way to the range, we face virtually the same charges.
Correct. Virtually the same charges. Well, 3 to 5 years, okay? He had prior convictions. He had prior drug dealing convictions. He had prior domestic conditions, okay?
Sounds like a real upstanding
society. Exactly the person we want back out on the streets before he's 50 years old. How about setting an example publicly? You know, obviously we can't bring back the stockades and stuff.
Yeah,
I would appreciate
like
it if we could. But yeah,
I like your idea of the electric bleachers.
Me too. The electric chair, electric bleachers, 30 at a time, no waiting. Okay? Now here's what pisses me off. So he shows no remorse. He comes up, what does he say? I feel bad for my family. You know what? Well, a big F you to you.
Yeah, right.
You feel bad for your family.
Right. What about
you
the families
I mean?
Of the people that your illegal guns murdered?
Correct.
You feel bad about that or the drug trafficking? You don't feel bad about that.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass,
yeah.
Okay? So he feels bad for his family.
Mm.
I don't give a shit about your family. Now we're going to be paying for him.
Right.
So and he'll probably have, conjugal visits. Now, who's going to be supporting his wife and his two kids? One is an infant. That's
you and me, buddy.
We're going to be supporting, okay? We are going to be supporting
them.
Write
the check.
You know what I mean? That really pisses me off.
How
really,
much more can
really
they put on our backs?
Me off.
And while we still struggle to try to differentiate between legal firearms and illegal firearms, and the laws are applied to us as much because they hate us. The lawmakers
they really
hate
do.
Us. It's not the guns
they,
that they hate.
They hate us. They hate us. The taxpayer, they hate the law-abiding mm-hmm. citizen taxpayer, just like letting illegals vote now. And pretty soon, you know, felons will be voting. It's so backwards, okay? Now, you sent me this article. I usually do show prep. I do all the beginning stuff, and then the two of us do the show together. And then Sandy does all the post-production stuff. Well, here's the deal. Portland police to halt and purge all gang designations. Talk about this, Sandy.
Well, they're not going to – they don't want to harm they don't want to harm the reputations of people who are known gang members in Portland. We want a kinder, gentler sort of a police department. So the – many in the police department, because a few people did not like the fact that they were being labeled as racists, the police that was, they just stopped notifying the database of any gang affiliations, and they purged their entire database of gang affiliations. So now when an officer arrives at a particular call, no longer will he know or she know that the person is a known gang member because it's not in the database anymore because we don't want to offend.
Correct.
You know, that's, I can.
But I have one better for you. I'm going to trump you. So we're not allowed to say what they are. We're not to give them any designations or anything because it is going to hurt their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the gang members.
Yeah, it might hurt their future too. You
but
know?
Did you hear what the city of Sacramento, California is doing?
No.
The city of Sacramento is paying gang members $1.5 million to stop violence. The city of Sacramento has contracted with a charitable organization in a pilot program aimed at ending gun violence. The city will provide $1.5 million in matching funds over 3 years to implement the program for gang members not to shoot each other or commit violent acts. Okay.
Serious?
Yes, they're bribing the gang members to stop committing gun violence. The idea of taxpayer money being paid to suspected criminals in exchange for said criminals to stop shooting each other is an easily exploitable narrative for internet outrage clicks.
Why? Because most criminals are very honest.
Okay.
They're gonna. I didn't shoot anyone. Can I have my check?
Is this? Are we doomed?
And we're supposed to take their word for the fact that they did not commit.
Yeah, I didn't kill nobody this year, so I want my money. Okay.
It's time to hit the giant flush valve, I think.
It's called Advance Peace in an effort to address a recent spike in violence.
Is that like Obama's Advance Peace Prize that he got?
And you know what I love? They say the taxpayers shouldn't worry because the $1.5 million in cash is coming from the city's general fund.
Oh.
Who funded the general fund?
Don't worry. It's coming from the general fund. So the general fund will now be $1.5 million short. So we're just going to have to increase your property taxes by only a slight amount.
It's coming from the general fund. Taxpayers shouldn't worry. Okay?
But people will go, oh, okay. I mean, we're living in that kind of world now. We are inundated.
I got a better idea. Well, we got $1.5 million in our general fund,
yeah.
And we're paying rat. We're paying people to rat on each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Come up, testify against your brothers and sisters in the gang,
and we'll give you
immunity. And here's $50,000, $100,000.
Right. That would be a good money well spent.
Sorry, I got to text Kenny real quick. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, we're back. I can't believe the system we have anymore. How about public executions?
Public executions.
How about public torture?
Sell tickets.
Stockades.
Yeah. Absolutely. We could raise a lot of taxpayer money that way. This is never going to happen, you know.
You know,
we are slipping into the abyss. We're going off of the cliff.
With all the Sharia creep that's going on, the new iPhone 10 has facial recognition. How's that going to work with a full burqa?
I don't.
I'm just asking for a friend.
Just saying. Yeah.
So you want to hear the ultimate of hypocrisy? You want to hear the ultimate of hypocrisy? Heckler and Koch will no longer sell weapons to countries that perpetuate war. Okay?
Okay. They sell guns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The German weapons manufacturers, whose guns have estimated to kill more than 2 million people since they were founded in 1949, has adopted the most ethical sales policy any gun member in the world. The company has pledged to no longer sell arms to war zones, okay, including Saudi Arabia, Israel, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, Malaysia,
Israel.
Indonesia, and other African countries. Yeah, Israel.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, you make guns.
Yeah.
This is
what you do. Yeah. You make why does it always have to be political? And why do the Germans feel like they need to lead the charge in all of this?
Yeah, that's why they bring in all the migrants too.
Yeah.
Because they have guilt from World War II.
Right.
They have that whole Nazi guilt.
It's gonna take care of that, I guess.
You know, I don't think the Israelis are losing sleep over this announcement. They have their own own weapons. But you're a gun manufacturer and you're not going to sell guns to certain countries because you don't like what they do with the guns. You're a gun manufacturer. They were designed to kill.
Right.
They were designed to fight. They were designed to protect.
Right.
They were designed to perpetuate your cause, whether it's good or bad. Whoever
right.
owns the guns, right?
Yeah, whoever owns the guns determines what happens with the gun.
I would never buy another H&K.
No,
I'm done.
I wouldn't buy
it. I was never a huge fan, but I'm never going to buy an H&K. I don't understand this. It's like Nikon doesn't advertise that they make scopes and red dots for ARs.
Right.
Because Nikon is predominantly a camera lens, binocular, and scope hunting rifle company. I'm not a big fan of them either. But H&K, meow.
Yeah, that's sad. We'll be right back. You know, as it turns out, one out of every three of us is caring for an aging parent. And if you're one of us, I don't have to tell you how difficult that can be. And until now, good sound advice that you could really trust was few and far between. The show is called Parents Are Hard to Raise, and every week it's jam-packed with expert advice and some pretty cool tips and tricks that'll help you and your parents grow older together without losing your minds. It's free expert elder care advice with a Jersey attitude. The show is hosted by my wife, Diane Berardi, who's been a practicing gerontologist for over three decades. So the insight's real, and the advice you get is battle-tested and ready to go. And it's often a little edgy. Like last week, Diane pulled back the curtain on the glitch in Obamacare that has caused the silent opioid epidemic that's hooking our aging parents. This week, the story of 72-year-old Charlie McMullen of Manhattan Beach, California. On the morning of May 4th, Charlie entered the hospital for the treatment of a simple stomach ulcer. Little did she know, she would never leave alive. Find out what happened and the systematic cover-up that could be putting your parents' life at risk. Parents Are Hard to Raise. Available on iTunes, Google Play, and on demand at iHeartRadio or at parentsarehardtoraise.org. And now, with great sadness, back to the show.
This segment is brought to you by County Line Firearms. County Line Firearms NJ is on Route 10 in East Hanover, across the street from the Best Buy, next to the check cashing company. Stop by and see Carlos or Tom Wilson from County Line Firearms NJ. Tell them Anthony said, do you support those who support us, please? So, I have an extended letter I want to read. Will you be patient with me?
I will.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure?
Of course.
Okay, this is from a longtime listener and Gun for Hire alumni, Mike Morano, and wow, it's really long. I don't know if I can do it, but...
Well, excerpt it.
Okay, he said, I am sending you this message in regards to SafeCon. On episode 328 of the radio show, you said one of the speakers is going to be State Police Firearms Unit. I heard that they will be answering questions from the public and would like to ask them a question. Oh, but unfortunately, I will not be able to attend the SafeCon to talk with them because I will be taking the written exam to become a firefighter in New York. God bless you, Declan. My question for them is simply, how come I was told by members of the Firearms Unit I can't get an out-of-state FID card when it is listed on the site to do so? I know that we have to pay to get it in the event, but was wondering if there would be another way to have them answer this question. Well, I got them to answer already. You can get a non-resident firearms ID card in New Jersey. Whoever you spoke to at the firearms unit did not give you the proper answer. Declan, come to the range during the day. The Totowa Barracks is literally two traffic lights away. You go into the Totowa Barracks with your driver's license, and you say, I want to get a non-resident firearms ID card. We have many people that live in New York State and New York City that have one. You'll go through the process. You'll have to come back to New Jersey to get fingerprinted, either Paramus or Parsippany. You'll do two references. When your FID card is ready, you will go to the State Police Barracks. They will take your fingerprint. They will give you your FID card. That will allow you to buy ammunition in New Jersey. That will allow you to rent guns in my range if you would like. So it's okay to have it. We have many members that have it. So you were giving the wrong information, and I apologize for that. It's not my fault, but, you know, it happens all the time. Just ask. You just got to ask.
Go ahead, Sam. I have a question. What if you have a New Jersey firearms ID card, and then you move out of the state and want to now get a non-resident?
You can get it.
Do you have to go through what kind of?
You have to go to state police. You have to go to state police.
Same process.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, same thing. So another one, somebody asked me, you know, what do you need to rent if you're coming from another country or something? Just a passport. Passport and a friend, you know, and you're allowed to work. Passports are fine. And, you know, people ask me that all the time, what ID do they need? And so I got a letter here, Sandy, and it's from Mike Morano. So let me get it started, especially since after the September 11th production that you did. And he said, the World Trade Center played a role in my life for as long as I can remember. To me, it has been a symbol of American society, mirroring our hopes and dreams, our pride and vanity, our strengths and weaknesses. it must have been in 67 or 68 that my father hoisted me up to peer through a viewing port, purposely cut in the plywood wall surrounding a giant hole in the ground in lower Manhattan. He wrote, I watched as the workers were, you know, mixing cement and building the building. What a time to be a young American. It's hard to describe today what optimism we felt. Every day, it seemed, some new grand event was happening. New vaccine to cure an old disease. New computers and airplanes and cars. Fast and sleek and modern. Heart transplants. We said we were going to fly to the moon, and we meant it. The U.S. was so strong. We had a Peace Corps. America knew how. Democracy and all good intentions were going to make freedom the way of the world. The future seemed so bright. The new towers being built seemed to represent us as they inched into the sky. Not content to build world's tallest buildings, we Americans would build two of them, gleaming, sleek, modern monuments to progress. They crept up into the New York City skyline. I can't recall exactly when, but soon I was able to see them from my home in New Jersey. The North Tower topped out in December 1970 when I was 10 years old, and by July 71, the South Tower, too, was finished. Tenants began moving in December of 70, and the official ribbon cutting was April 73. In 1978, I entered NJIT, which is located in the most elevated part of Newark. Gazing out of the classroom windows across the Passaic River and the New Jersey marshes, you could see the tower shining in the day and sparkling at night, like Oz off in the distance for me. They became inspirational, as if somehow I knew that our destinies were connected. I recall a day in September 82 that is still fresh in my mind as if it happened yesterday. I had just started working in Manhattan and was eager to explore. On a Saturday, I took a train into the city and walked up to Central Park from Penn Station. The weather was perfect, mild, endless blue skies, very much like another September day, September 11, 2001. Now that I think about it, I intended to walk up to Central Park and call it a day. Walking down Fifth Avenue, the World Trade Center looked so close, like right there. How far could those towers be? So I walked along with my camera on and on, exploring as I went, always following the towers. For those of you who have never saw them, they were much farther than they seemed. From uptown, the towers were like beautiful monuments glistening in the distance. Late in the afternoon, I finally got to the towers, footsore but happy. I had arrived in that golden hour the photographers talk about. It was the first time I went up to the observation platform. Oh my, what a view. You can't imagine what it was like. Everything was right there. The Hudson River, the Palisades, the GWB, the Verrazano Bridge, the Statue of Liberty. Okay, he could see Newark, the Watchung Mountains, Connecticut, Long Island, Staten Island, Sandy Hook, and the Jersey Shore. By 1993, I had moved down to an office at 33 Maiden Lane, three blocks east of the center. Right across the street from the Federal Reserve, my office window looked down Maiden Lane. At the end of the street was the World Trade Center. I commuted via path from Newark to the World Trade Center, so I passed through there every day. It was like a small village, bookstores, shoe repair, pharmacies, etc., etc. I used to get my hair cut and shoes shined at the World Trade Center. A fair number of the books that I own were bought there. I was sitting in my office on Friday, February 26, 93, around noon. I was probably thinking about what to eat for lunch when I felt a rolling shake pass through the building. It was so strong to be a normal subway vibration, and I saw smoke start to roll out of the bottom of the World Trade Center. That's when our buddy Ramzi Youssef set off a 1,300-pound bomb hidden in a rental truck in the basement parking garage. The plan was if the bomb truck was parked at the right place, the foundation would crack, the Hudson River would pour in, and the North Tower would fall on the South Tower, collapsing them both. Investigators later concluded that if the truck had been parked closer to the foundation, Youssef's plan might have succeeded. Probably because the truck wasn't parked close enough to the building perimeter, the North Tower didn't collapse. But the garage was so severely damaged in the explosion. Remember that giant concrete slurry wall bathtub that I saw being poured when I was seven? It held that day. Ramzi escaped to Pakistan several hours after the bombing. Altogether, six people were killed and 1,042 injured, most during the evacuation that followed the blast. The buildings were safely evacuated. Downtown was a madhouse. I eventually walked up to Penn Station and caught a train home late that night. Path was shut down for weeks, but life quickly returned to normal. President Clinton pursued the bombing as a criminal matter. The attack was planned by a group of terrorists, including Ramzi Youssef. They received finance from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Youssef's uncle. Remember that name, Khalif Sheikh Mohammed. My son Greg was 6 years old, September of 2001. and my daughter Elise was four. Greg had begun full day of kindergarten, and Elise was in full day preschool. The normal routine was that my wife and I would take turns driving the kids to school. September 11th was a Tuesday, and it dawned on me as one of those beautiful September days that New Jersey is sometimes lucky to have. The temperatures and humidity levels were perfect. There was no wind, and I was not exaggerating when I say that the air felt like a soft kiss. The sky was cloudless and oh so very blue. It was my turn to drive, and my wife was planning to drive into downtown NYC to attend a meeting close to the World Trade Center. For reasons I can't explain, I asked her to play hooky and instead come with me to drop the kids at school. Uncharacteristically, she agreed, and that is why she wasn't passing through the towers on 9/11. On the way home, the AM news radio mentioned that a plane had struck. Like most people, we assumed it was a light passenger plane. When we arrived at home and turned on the TV, we found out that it was a hijacked 767 that had hit the North Tower. We watched live as another 767 hit the South Tower. It was then that I said that they were trying to knock the towers down and explained how. We watched as a third plane hit the Pentagon and a fourth crashed in PA. We watched the South Tower collapse at 9:59, the North Tower fall at 10:28. The concrete bathtub, it held again. If it hadn't, the huge debris pile would have filled the Hudson River water. We picked the children up from school sometimes after that. The kids weren't told by the school, but Elise had overheard some teachers mention the attack. Later that day, my wife found that Elise had drawn the towers on an Etch-a-Sketch. Speaking at a press conference at 11:02, Mayor Giuliani told reporters, "If you are south of the Grand of Canal Street, get out. Walk slowly and carefully. If you can't figure out what else to do, just walk north." Downtown was covered with dust and debris. The electrical failures caused light outages. Emergency vehicles were giving priority to respond to ongoing fire collapses and expected mass casualties. Over a million workers and residents south of Canal Street were evacuated, and police stopped pedestrians from entering Lower Manhattan. Eight people from my town were killed that day. I had coworkers and friends who had died there. My son had classmates in his kindergarten class who were killed there. In total, 2,996 people were killed and 6,000 were wounded. He wrote, "Remember Sheikh Khalid Mohammed from the 1993 bombing? Well, we learned that he first presented the idea of the September 11 plot to Osama bin Laden in 1996 in Afghanistan." All right. He wrote that he woke up late May, September 2001. I woke up Greg to watch Barack Obama announce the U.S. Special Forces had killed Osama bin Laden. I had been waiting since September 11th to give him the news. The world's most wanted man in 10 years had been living in Abbottabad, Pakistan, a few hundred yards from the elite military academy of our supposed ally. He says, "As for me, I can never forget." I abridged it a little bit because it was extensive, but everybody should listen to that, how it affected them. I drove into work, Sea Caucus, that morning. I saw the towers. I heard on the radio that a plane had hit. I thought it was a light plane. I walked outside Penhorn Avenue. I looked up, and a huge lumbering commercial jet flew over our heads. Seemed like it was 50 feet in the sky. And we watched it. I was like, wow, they must have rerouted that plane. And I watched. My mother was standing there with me, and I saw the second plane hit the tower live. Seemed like you could touch it. And we should never forget this, and all of our children should know about this. So, Mike, I appreciate your great words. You write as well as Sandy, I think, here. So
better.
It's really touching to hear that. And, again, everybody should not forget that we're at war, and we're going to be at war forever. And if we think we can put our heads in our arses or be an ostrich and put our head in the ground, it's not going away. Last week in France, in Toulouse, France, Allahu Akbar, seven people stabbed.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep happening, using cars, trucks, knives, bombs in trucks, whatever they can do. So we need to be vigilant, and we need to wake up the people that have their heads in their asses, for sure. This week, thank you again, Mike Morano, for that. We have a ton of classes up. We have our full urban series 1, 2, and 3 all through the months of September and October. We have Low Light, No Light, October 24th. We have NRA instructor classes. Become an NRA instructor, November 3rd, 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th. We have BIT, RSO, pistol, rifle, shotgun. October, November, protective pen, protective knife 2, and protective cane. I just want to thank everybody for keeping the spirit and the memory of September 11th alive. Also, big shout out Bill Furon, State Trooper Bill Furon. His birthday just passed. I just want to give a little shout out to him and his family and thank him for everything he contributed to the growth of Gun for Hire. And
we really miss him.
Yes, that's it. I'm done.
Well, it looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Winston the dog who can't be left out, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Winston, you've already said goodbye ahead of time, but that's all right. We love you, buddy. Okay, guys, please, each one, reach one. Coming up this week, get to New Jersey SafeCon. Let's try to make a difference in everything that we do. Bring somebody, like Anthony says, it's $20. Just buy a ticket for somebody. All right, we love you guys. See you next week. To go shine.